Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM webcast. Today's webcast will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. If you have questions regarding any of the information being covered in today's webcast, you may submit questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question. If you would like a copy of today's presentation, it is available to download by clicking on the Download Slides button located underneath the slide window. In this webcast, you'll learn how the new release of CICS Transaction Server helps businesses realize new application value as part of modern SOA solutions by quickly enabling proven core business applications. The webcast will also describe how CICS has evolved to deliver improved connectivity, application reuse, and IT service management. Our speaker for today's webcast is Catherine Moxie, Software Engineer, IBM Software Group, Application and Integration Middleware Software. At this time, I would like to turn the program over to our speaker, Catherine Moxie.
Thank you. I'd like to take you through the new capabilities that we'll be providing in KIX Transaction Server version 3.2 and showing you how they continue the strategy and themes that we have for KIX TS version 3. So I'll move on past the acknowledgements. The agenda for this webcast is to give you some background to the strategy for KIX TS version 3, and then I'm going to explain the four main themes for the version and talk in some more detail about the enhancements introduced for 3.2 in each of those areas. So looking at some background, we're seeing that customers face multiple challenges in IT of needing to redefine their applications quickly and effectively to meet business demands, but at the same time ensuring efficiency in developing and maintaining applications and making use of existing resources. And there's also a need to meet increasing workloads and the growth in complexity of development platforms and need for greater integration. It's going to require organizations to adopt more efficient development paradigms and to make their existing applications available for new and different uses. The adoption and proliferation of web services in the industry is making it easier to adopt a service-based approach and help with some of these problems. So if we look at the service-oriented architecture, reference architecture, from a business perspective, it's a set of business, process, organizational, governance, and technical means of assisting IT. In a technical perspective, it enables different computers from different vendors using different programs, all to interact and exchange information. The focus of KIX Transaction Server version 3 is to align with the building blocks of the SOA reference architecture and deliver customer value by enabling business flexibility through simplification of the IT. The strategy for version 3 is deliver a set of capabilities that allow valuable KIX applications to evolve to take advantage of SOA and participate in differentiating activities. The four themes for version 3 fit into that goal. Application connectivity is about allowing existing applications to be used in new ways, to construct new applications using standard APIs. And this protects your investment. Application reuse enables existing applications to be combined and enhanced to provide new capabilities within a flexible IT infrastructure. The service management theme provides effective management for large runtime configurations using modern user interfaces to allow demanding SLAs to be met and to satisfy IT governance issues. And the architectural enhancements are about relieving constraints and limitations on data and processing to allow you further growth of your applications and systems. Next slide. We'll start by looking at some of the function provided in the application connectivity area. This includes support of web services standards and interoperability profiles, and how we handle large messages and data mapping. And a significant function in this area also is the exploitation of SystemZ IP networking. And also we'll look at enhancements to the KIX web support. Next slide. KIX version 3 web services support is bidirectional, so it allows existing applications to be exposed as web services, and it also allows development of KIX applications which will be consumers of web services. Obviously, an important aspect of this is support for the web services standards. And this slide and the next slide look at the standards that are supported by KIX. These are in the areas of XML and the Web Services Interoperability Organization's specifications for the basic profile and simple SOAP binding profile. On the next slide, standards for SOAP, web services, atomic transaction coordination and trust, and for web services description language. Incidentally, the WebSphere Developer SystemZ, WD4Z product, provides support for KIX web services applications for developing such applications. So some of the standards listed on these two slides are supported in KIX TS version 3.1, and some have had their support added in this release 3.2. Next slide. The KIX Web Services Assistance provide for conversion between high-level language structures, such as a COBOL data structure, and web services descriptions. Enhanced support for the Web Services Assistance is provided in 3.2. There's an extended range of data types which is supported. The mapping level option indicates the level that will be used. And there are some options that can be declared in the metadata, the things like the transaction user ID, rather than having to require handlers to be written to supply those. Talking about the mapping level, with the next slide, this shows the various mapping levels and what's supported in each. So each of the mapping levels builds on the previous one, and we've introduced the different support for additional language data types and XML data types in response to what we see a customer need for, and we'll continue to do that. The mapping levels 1.1 and 1.2 were made available on KIX TS 3.1 via PTFs, and 2.0 mapping level is the base level in KIX TS 3.2. Next slide. In KIX TS 3.2, another important enhancement is support for the SOAP message transmission optimization mechanism and XML binary optimized packaging specifications. These are normally referred to as MTOM XOP. In standard SOAP messages, binary objects are BASIC64 encoded and they get included in the message body. The binary encoding increases the message size, and also the whole message needs to be parsed. If there are large binary objects, such as images or sound files, that can impact the transmission time. So the MTOM XOP specifications define a method for optimizing transmission of binary data objects within SOAP. MTOM actually defines a way of optimizing the messages so that the actual binary data is separated out and sent as separate binary attachments using MIME rather than the BASIC64 encoding. And the XOP specification is defining an implementation for optimizing SOAP messages that use the MTOM approach. Next slide shows how KIX implements support for MTOM XOP, and that's in both the requester and the provider pipelines. So KIX applications that are web service providers or requesters can use the support to send and receive MTOM messages with the binary attachments. And it's configured using new options in the pipeline configuration file. There are certain scenarios where KIX can't use the XOP format directly. Examples are where you need the original message to do the processing. So there are two modes of support provided. One is the direct mode, which does use the binary attachments, and compatibility mode is used where, for example, if you're using web services security, where you'd need the original message to do the security checking, or if you're using validation, then the compatibility mode gets automatically switched to by KIX. On the next slide, this looks at the support for WSDL 2.0, which is a candidate recommendation. One of the benefits you get from SOA is that it allows you to specify what services you have, what they are and what they do, all in one place. So our support for the Web Services Description Language, or WSDL 2.0, is part of our ongoing commitment to supporting that capability. And I just mentioned at this point that KIX Transaction Server had day one support for the new WebSphere Service Registry and Repository, or WSRR. WSDL 2.0 defines a web services description language that's both richer and simpler in the definition, and that's especially in the area of message exchange patterns. Next slide looks at support in KIX for WSDL 2.0. The KIX Web Services Assistants have been enhanced. When you're generating web service description and binding file from a language structure, which is using the DFHLS2WS assistant, there are options to specify the WSDL version or versions that you want generated and where in the Unix file system the output is to be written. The SOAP version will be deduced from the WSDL version, but it can also be specified explicitly, and the URI can be either relative or absolute. When you're generating a language structure and a web service binding file from WSDL, that's using the DFHWS2LS assistant, then the WSDL version is automatically deduced from the input, and there are some new options to select only a subset of the operations in the WSDL and to say which of the WSDL services are to be used. Next slide. I mentioned the message exchange patterns, and we'll look at the exchange patterns supported by KIX, starting with the in-only and in-out exchange patterns, which were already supported in KIX TS 3.1. although they weren't known as message exchange patterns in the previous WSDL level. The in-out example is probably the most common exchange pattern for KIX because that's the natural behavior for a KIX application. So, for example, when KIX is the provider, KIX will receive a message from the requester and will respond either with the response message or a fault. On the next slide, other message exchange patterns are the robust in-only and in-optional-out. For robust in-only, where KIX is the service provider, it only needs to respond if an error occurs when it will send back a SOAP fault. For robust in-only when KIX is the service requester, we need to be able to handle the situation that a response may or may not be received. And to do that, a timeout parameter has been added to the pipeline to allow you to specify how long KIX should wait for a possible response. The in-optional out and with KIX as a provider or requester is similar in that as a provider, KIX is in control and can determine what to do in terms of responses. As the requester, the timeout needs to be used to determine how long to wait. On the next slide, KIX support for securing web services has been enhanced to include an implementation of the Web Services Trust specification. KIX can interoperate with a security token service to validate and issue security tokens, so that enables KIX to send and receive messages with a wide variety of security tokens, including ones that KIX itself doesn't recognize. such as SAML assertions or Kerberos tokens. So the figure on this slide shows an example, a message inbound to Kix, which has security credentials that Kix doesn't handle. But by using the trust handler in the pipeline, Kix can request from a security token service a token which it does understand, which would most likely be a RACF user ID token. Moving to the next slide and looking at one of the other aspects under this theme, which is the Kix support for TCP/IP. Starting with some background to that, Kix has been a leader in support for SNA and VTAM for over 30 years. And the first thing to emphasize here is there are no plans to remove that existing support. But customers are starting to look for IP alternatives to VTAM to allow simplification of systems management by converging the network, and also to address the problem of declining SNA skills. For Kix, we have a multi-release plan to provide a new transactional IP protocol between Kix regions and into Kix systems. So this strategy will allow us to get value from advances in TCP/IP and exploit System Z technology to provide an IP infrastructure for Kix. In Kix TS 3.2, the IP support will be for the distributed program link and JCA. So as I already stated, there's no plan to remove the existing SNA VTAM function, and there's no requirement to migrate to the IP interconnectivity or for Kix applications to change to take advantage of it. A key aspect of the support we're providing for IP interconnectivity is to provide management and control facilities so that a Kix request can be tracked as it flows between regions using system correlation data and user-associated data. That will allow the KixPlex Systems Manager to provide information about the traffic across the KixPlex. On the next slide, this looks at the resource definitions prior to Kix TS 3.2, which include a connection to define a remote system with which a Kix system will communicate, using either inter-system communication or multi-region operation. And there are session definitions to specify the sessions to be used with that communication. Then a TCP/IP service resource is used to define how incoming client requests are handled. So amongst other things, that defines the port to be listened on and the protocol that will be used, which is things like Kix web support, HTTP, or IIOP, or a user-defined protocol. The next slide looks at the resource definitions for IP interconnectivity support in Kix TS 3.2. This uses an IP connection, or IPCon, and that's a TCP/IP communication link to a remote system. So the IPCon definition specifies the outbound attributes of the TCP/IP connection, and then the TCP/IP service defines the inbound attributes of the connection. On the next slide, there's an example that illustrates the relationships between the IPCon and the TCP/IP service definitions and how they specify the connections between systems. The protocols that can be specified on a TCP/IP service now include IPIC, which is the IP interconnectivity protocol. And that specifies that the TCP/IP service is used for distributed program link over IP connections. The figure also shows that you can have a single TCP/IP service to receive messages from more than one connected Kix, whereas the IPCon resource just directs messages to a single Kix region. Moving to the next slide, as you'd expect, full security is provided for IP connections. The mechanisms are equivalent to those for existing APPC-style connections, although they're implemented differently. So So there is support for bind time security, link security, and user security. And the IP connections support SSL controls and encryption. On the next slide, this explains about how you can combine the function shipping of program links using the IP interconnectivity, as well as other function shipping, such as for file control requests. So to do that, in the KIX region, you need to define both an IPCon and a connection with the same SysID, which defines the remote system. And if an IPCon is installed, then that will be used for the DPL-style connection in preference to any connection definitions. And there's also an install time check to ensure the Apple IDs of an IPCon and a connection which have the same SysID map up correctly. On the next slide, a final point about the IP interconnectivity support is that auto-install is supported for IP connections. There's an installed IPCon that will be used as a template. And in fact, if the template IPCon has been put out of service, that disables the auto-install. Unlike the auto-install for APPC connections in previous releases and in the current release, you don't use a system initialization parameter for this. The name of the auto-install user program is specified on an installed TCP/IP service definition, which specifies the protocol of IPIC. There's a default auto-install program provided, DFHISAIP, and that uses a KIX-supplied IPCon definition as the template for the auto-install. The next slide moves on to look at some of the enhancements to the KIX web interface and the HTTP support, starting with performance optimization. For the web open, in KIX TS 3.1, KIX would determine the HTTP version of the server up front by making an HTTP request with the options method whenever there was an exec KIX web open command. In KIX TS 3.2, the normal situation is that KIX won't do that, but will just receive on the first response from the server the HTTP version. It will identify that from the response and then apply that for the remainder of the session, so that the HTTP request with the options method to get back the HTTP version on web open is only issued if the HTTP VNUM and RNUM options have been specified. Another enhancement is optimizations for data conversions, such as can occur in the web interface and with web services. Moving to the next slide and some more of the web interface changes. The new support for containers that was introduced in KIX 3.1 is now being used internally by KIX to store HTTP headers. That removes the requirement for temporary storage queues with KIX web support. It uses containers that are defined by KIX, and it's used for request lines, status lines, and HTTP headers. On the next foil, also the channel and container support has been added to the web API so that it can be used on web commands. On the exec KIX web send, there are options to specify the container where the HTTP body is to be held and the channel to which that container belongs. Just to note that the chunking option can't be specified along with the container option. On the next foil, this looks at the equivalence for web receive and web converse. Web converse is a send and receive in one command. And they also have new options to make use of the container support and also to specify the character set of the HTTP request or receive body. On the next slide, there's a new caching and refreshing facility to improve performance for application access to KIX document templates. The document handler domain always caches a copy of certain types of document template. And it may also cache templates from some other sources. And the loader domain will always cache document templates for a Qix application program. So this caching provides a performance benefit. Also, if you make changes to a document template that's been cached, you can refresh that copy using a new copy command, set doc template new copy. The next slide also looks at some enhancements for document templates. Prior to Qix TS 3.2, a document would exist until the end of the transaction. For long-running transactions that made heavy use of documents, that could obviously consume large amounts of storage. In 3.2, we're introducing a new document delete command, which will allow an application to explicitly delete documents. And there's also a doc status option on the web converse and web send commands, which will delete the document after sending. So both of these will allow an application to avoid consuming large amounts of storage for doc templates. The next slide mentions that a range of new and changed samples are provided to help you to take full advantage of the capabilities of the Qix web interface. In particular, there are samples to show how to use pipelining and chunking. The next slide is explaining that the execQix API is now supported in the web URMs, so execQix web API commands can be used in converter programs and in the user replaceable web error program, DFHWBEP. So instead of constructing the response from the programs manually in a block of storage, you can migrate to using the web API commands to construct and send a response. Also, the web error program is now called if an error occurs during the delivery of static data, and you can customize the error response that Qix sends to the web client. The next slide. The next couple of slides cover some security enhancements that can be used for static content with the Qix web interface. Firstly, you can now apply access controls to individual document templates. The security checking for that is using the XRES system initialization parameter, and it's enabled, is set to yes by default. So you can use this to secure individual web pages that are delivered as static responses. And you can also secure document templates used by application programs, either for web delivery or for any other purpose. The next slide is about security for HFS files. So files that are stored in Unix system services can be used to supply web pages through the Qix web support as static responses. And you can control the access to those files on the basis of user IDs for individual web clients. Again, this access control is enabled by default. It's worth mentioning that the Qix region user ID always needs to have a minimum of read access to the HFS files to used for Qix web support. The next slide. The web send and web converse commands have been expanded so that with Qix as the client, you can provide basic authentication credentials. Qix will convert the supplied username and password into the format that the HTTP basic authentication protocol is expecting. So that allows you to supply your credentials either in the usual character set through the web send or web converse commands, or using the XWB auth user exit. So this new client send exit allows you to specify the authentication credentials rather than explicitly on the command. There are also sample exits provided for this new exit point. On the next slide, we move on to the next major theme, which is application reuse. And this includes a range of enhancements to modern programming constructs. On the next slide, the first enhancements we'll cover is to the channels and containers, which, as I said, were introduced in 3.1 as the modern programming construct for passing data and communicating between programs. We're seeing a lot of use of containers by customers of Kix TS3.1, and Kix itself is using containers, as we saw earlier, with HTTP headers. In Kix TS3.2, the storage used for containers within the Kix region is moved above the 2 GB bar. So, in other words, they're using the 64-bit storage. That not only allows greater amounts of data to be passed between Kix programs using the channels and containers facility, but it also frees up space below the bar for application programs and for other use. The next slide looks at a range of enhancements in the Java area. Firstly, the resettable mode for JVMs has been removed, which is part of a move towards more standard Java practices, which we started in Kix TS 2.3 with the introduction of continuous mode. There's a new JVM application isolation utility that's provided to help migrating Java programs to continuous mode. It identifies potential problems in your Java applications that might cause difficulties with moving to continuous mode. There are also a number of changes to options in JVM profiles and property files, which reflect enhancements to Java 1.4.2 support. And the JVM trace is now formatted as part of the Kix trace. The next slide looks at some further enhancements in the Java area. These include a way to provide a timeout threshold for JVMs which have been idle. Also, the perform JVM pool start allows you to preemptively start JVMs and make them ready for use. And also, the perform JVM pool terminate is a way to terminate a subset of JVMs within a JVM pool rather than terminating the entire pool. So note that the old set JVM pool terminate is deprecated. The next slide, the final Java enhancement I'd like to talk about is enhancements in garbage collection. In Kix TS 3.1, garbage collection would run after a specified number of programs had executed, and it runs under the program which encounters that limit. In Kix 3.2, you can specify a threshold for the percentage of heap utilization above which garbage collection will be scheduled, and then the collection will run under a separate transaction, not the transaction that reached that limit. The one exception to that is if there's an allocation failure because a program started while we were below the threshold and that program took us over that threshold, in which case that task, the garbage collection gets run under that task. Moving to the next slide and the third major theme, which is service management, where there are a number of new capabilities to simplify the management of Kix environments. The first of these, on the next slide, is dynamic program library management, which provides support for dynamically specifying the data sets from which programs and program artifacts will be loaded without the need to restart Kix, which will assist towards achieving 24/7 operations. This is in addition to the existing DFHRPL mechanism for specifying load library data sets to the system. So it will be your choice whether you use the new mechanism and whether you use it mainly in development or test or make use of it in production to reduce the number of restarts of the system required. A new Kix resource will allow you to define groups of data sets that represent an application and to install those data sets into the system to make them available to locate programs from. So it provides a more flexible and controlled way of introducing applications and representing them in the system. So you have a mapping of the application structure to the runtime usage. The next slide. A significant service management capability is providing support for the Enterprise Workload Manager, or EWLM. EWLM is IBM's implementation of the Open Group's Application Response Measurement Standard, known as ARM. This allows for end-to-end workload monitoring across a complicated e-business environment where there are multiple servers and heterogeneous environments and complex workloads. And EWLM allowed the various questions that arise in a complex e-business environment to be answered about whether the performance objectives are being met, what resources are being used by a business process, and so on. The next slide gives a high-level overview of EWLM, which allows monitoring of application-related processes or operating system processes, either specifically or as a set. So as an example, the end-to-end flow of an application transaction could be followed from WebSphere application server into Qix and out to a back-end DB2. So this allows resources to be managed to achieve the business goals. The next slide looks at the Qix exploitation of EWLM. First thing to note is that this doesn't require any application changes to allow them to be monitored with EWLM. The flow of workloads between Qix systems can be followed, and also the flow into Qix and out from Qix. This makes use of what are called ARM correlators, which correlate transactions across different subsystems. The EWLM support is provided for a range of transports, and the EWLM control center can be used to look at Qix workloads and to set up the policies. Next slide. This figure shows an example of some of the information you can obtain with the EWLM control center. In this example, the so-called hop starts at one Qix system and goes across to another Qix. Next slide. This looks at some of the enhancements for the QixPlex systems manager. QixPlex SM is seen as providing the primary interface for managing Qix resources and systems. And our aim in Qix TS 3.2 is to remove some of the last inhibitors that may have prevented people from getting the full benefit of QixPlex SM. As part of that, the web user interface becomes the single fully functional interface to systems management in a QixPlex, and the TSO end user interface is removed in this release. Another aspect is simplification of the installation of QixPlex SM and further integration of it into the Qix base. In particular, we've given a lot of focus to simplifying the setup and use of the QixPlex SM environment so that capabilities can be more readily exploited. Moving to the next slide, as part of the simplification for QixPlex SM setup, the Qix resource definitions that are required to run the various types of system, the CMAS, the web user interface service, and managed Qix regions are all installed dynamically, so there's no longer necessary to manually define those definitions. Also, the code page conversion tables that are needed for the web user interface are automatically included in DFH CMV, so those don't need to be added manually. And last but not least, the supplied sample set has been enhanced, so you can get up and running faster with QixPlex SM. The final topic in this area is the Qix MQ adapter on the next slide. In Qix TS 3.2, Qix TS assumes responsibility for the components that are used to communicate between Qix and WebSphere MQ. This will allow Qix to provide enhancements to those components, such as thread safety, as we'll see, and improved diagnostics and statistics using Qix facilities. The components that will be shipped with Qix TS 3.2 are the Qix MQ adapter, the MQ trigger monitor for Qix, and the MQ bridge. The first two will work with all supported releases of WebSphere MQ, while the bridge will work with version 6 and above. So when version 3.1 of MQ is used, control will get transferred to the MQ bridge shipped by WebSphere MQ. And also WebSphere MQ will continue to ship the equivalents of these for for use with KixTS 3.1 and earlier releases for as long as those are versions are in service. The next slide moves on to the final major theme, which is architectural enhancements, which addresses some of the constraints and the limitations in Kix, particularly providing benefits in some of the more traditional areas of the product. On the next slide, the first of the limitations relates to Kix's ability to take advantage of multiprocessing by running workloads on multiple TCBs. And over the course of a number of releases, we've been making more and more commands thread-safe, allowing programs which use those commands to run on open TCBs. In Kix 3.2, some aspects of file control will be made thread-safe. These are looking at the access methods we can make thread-safe in this release, which we feel should be of most use. So the file control APIs for access to local vSAM files and to vSAM RLS files will all be thread-safe. The relevant APIs are as listed on the foil, and also the inquire file SPI will be thread-safe, although other SPI commands will not be. It should be noted that any exits enabled at the file control exit points need to be thread-safe and defined as thread-safe to avoid any unnecessary TCB switching. Moving to the next slide, as I alluded to earlier, the Kix MQ adapter that's shipped with KixTS 3.2 will be thread-safe, so it will be enabled to use Kix open TCBs. Moving on to the next slide, the third area of thread safety changes is that the journaling API is now thread-safe. And also, global user exits that are enabled from first phase PLT programs can now be defined as thread-safe using a new thread-safe keyword on execkix enable. Moving to the next slide, looking at shared data tables, in releases prior to 3.2, the space available for shared data tables was limited to 2 gigabytes. In Kix 3.2, that constraint's been removed by allowing shared data tables to extend across multiple data spaces. So any given shared data table can be larger than 2 gigabytes, and the total storage for data tables can be up to around 200 gigabytes. In addition, some of the control structures that are used by shared data tables, which were held within the Kix address space, have also been moved to their own dedicated data spaces. So that will also free up some storage in the Kix address space. This change for shared data tables is entirely transparent to applications which use shared data tables support. The data tables will just be able to grow to the size required. The next slide, this looks at the Kix support for entry sequence datasets, or ESDS, which has previously been limited to up to 4 gigabytes of data per ESDS. That limitation is imposed by the use of a 32-bit relative byte address, or RBA, to address the records within the ESDS. Extended addressing for ESDS allows datasets to avoid the limitation, and Kix TS 3.2 adds support for extended addressability ESDS by supporting the 64-bit extended RBAs called XRBAs. So unlike the support for the shared data tables extension, the support for larger ESDS isn't transparent to application programs. Obviously, they need to change to use the new XRBA parameter on the file control API in order to access the larger range of records. There is actually a class of applications which are known as RBA insensitive, which wouldn't need to change. Those are applications which either don't use an RBA to access records, or which do browsing and use a special RBA value to position the browse at the start or end of the dataset and then browse forwards or backwards from there. Moving to the next slide, there's a limit prior to Kix 3.2 on the number of Kix systems that can join a Sysplex using the operating system's XCF support. That's a limit of 2047 systems. And the reason for the limit is because every Kix joins a single preset XCF group. The limit is removed in Kix TS 3.2 by allowing the Kix system to specify the XCF group that it wants to join. And in fact, the XCF groups apply to both Kix regions and to Kix transaction gateway daemons. So there's a new systems initialization parameter which either takes the default XCF group or can specify one explicitly. The next slide has a figure showing an example of four Kix regions which are in two separate XCF groups. So that shows how the systems within each XCF group can communicate across the SysPlex. So you might, for example, choose to group your Kix regions into, say, test and production, or group them into types of application. Moving to the next slide, there are some enhancements in the monitoring area. Firstly, the size of the monitoring record clock format has been increased, which results in an increase to both the precision and the capacity of monitoring time fields. So the increased accuracy is especially useful with the speed of today's processors and Kix systems, and the increased capacity supports long-running transactions. This new clock format applies to the performance class monitoring, not to resource or exception class. Moving to the next slide, another monitoring enhancement is the support for compression of monitoring records. Compression is selectable and it's off by default. But in some ways it's a no-cost benefit, because although CPU is required to carry out the compression, there are then savings in moving that data as it's compressed. Moving to the next slide, we are continuing to invest in enhancing and improving the Kix Information Center. That's both in terms of the information provided and the navigation and the search capabilities. In Kix TS 3.2, you should see a number of improvements, some of which arise from a move to the Eclipse Help System 3.1. One significant change is the provision of anchor points in the Info Center, and those will allow you to add your own information to the Info Center via Eclipse plugins. So you can add things like your installation's standards and procedures. Moving to the next slide. Before I summarise, I'd just like to mention a couple of ways in which you can get more information on Kix TS 3.2. One is to go to the Kix website, which is www.ibm.com/CICS. And another is the Impact 2007 conference. That's taking place from May the 21st to the May the 25th in Orlando, Florida. Impact 2007 would give you an ideal opportunity to hear Kix technical specialists giving deep dives into technical aspects of version 3. This conference expands and replaces the old T&M, or Transaction and Messaging Conference. So in addition to dedicated technical sessions and hands-on labs looking at Kix and also WebSphere MQ and WebSphere, there'll also be an executive track which allow you to hear about the business value of those products. And there will also be customer executives talking about business value they've gained. So to summarise, Kix TS 3.2 builds on 3.1 to provide an efficient and optimised runtime which allows you to take advantage of SOA technologies as well as offering benefits for traditional workloads. Developers will benefit from features that support the reuse and transformation of existing applications and that ease the development of new applications. And systems programmers will benefit from the management and support for mixed applications and workloads. Kix Transaction Server interoperates with WebSphere Application Server to support mission-critical solutions, and it delivers the ZOS qualities of service. Now I'll hand back to the moderator. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the presentation portion of today's webcast. We would like to make you aware of additional webcasts that may be of interest to you. Please visit our website at www.ibm.com/software/System Z to register for upcoming webcasts or to replay this webcast or previously broadcast webcasts. If you will take a moment to provide us with your feedback by answering the questions now appearing in the slide window, it would be greatly appreciated. Now we will move on to the question and answer session. If you haven't submitted your questions, please do so now. You may submit questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question. Please note that we will cover as many questions as time allows. If you are viewing this webcast in replay mode, please submit your questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question, and they will be answered in 48 hours. At this time, I would like to turn the program back over to the speaker for the question and answer session.
Thank you. We have our first question, which is the caching refresh of the doc template available under 3.1 or 3.2? The answer to that is that that's a new feature in KixTS 3.2 only. Next question is about the Kix SOAP feature. From someone saying that they're currently running KixTS 2.3 with the Kix SOAP feature and asking whether it's possible to move directly to Kix 3.2 and run the Kix SOAP product in 3.2 until we convert our application programs to use the new 3.2 function. And the answer to that is yes. The SOAP for Kix feature will run on 3.2 in parallel with the support in the base. So that's yes to that. Another question is about asking me to repeat the name of the new technical conference. That's called IMPACT. So IMPACT 2007 for this. There's a question about when Kix 3.2 will be available. My colleague would like me to mention that there is going to be, for the first time, an open beta for Kix 3.2, which will be available shortly. Do you want to?
Yes, if you go to the website, the Kix website, and look at the 3.2 page, then there is a link to register first for the open beta. The open beta is available for anybody to download, and you get a time-bombed copy of the code. It obviously won't be the GA code, but the last, a very close facsimile of that. And we would encourage anybody to do that. The support arrangements for the beta code are that there will be a news group or forum available where we will the lab will attempt to assist on a best can do basis, but the objectives of the open beta are to give you all early experience of what's available on the 29th of June when we do GA.
Okay, thank you very much, Ian. There's a question about the new specification of XCF group, whether that will relieve the restriction of unique Apple IDs in a SysDex, as long as the duplicate Apple IDs reside in different XCF groups. The answer to that is no. It will still be necessary to ensure that your Apple IDs are unique. There's a question about BSAM thread safety. If a Kix task is running on an L8 TCB and issues a BSAM write, will it go to the CO TCB with subtasks 1? And the answer to that is no. Okay, we've got another question come in. This is a question about the IP intercommunication feature, which supports DPL over IP, asking whether that will support DPL over IP between the TX series, Kix for AIX and Kix TS 3.2. The answer to that is no. There's a question about the MQ adapter, whether it will have the same functionality or whether it's enhanced. There's an example given of support for user ID or throttle start. Those particular examples are not included. There are enhancements which I mentioned about the support for open TCBs and the diagnostic improvements. And part of the reason for moving the shipping of the MQ adapter to Kix TS is to allow us over time to make enhancements to the functionality. There's a question about the open beta and whether the MTOM support will be functional in that. The answer to that is yes, it is. And also whether there's support for Kix TS 3.2 in the WebSphere developer for System Z, which I believe Ian Mitchell is about to answer that.
Yes, currently the MTOM and XOP support won't be available in the current release of WD for Z. But in general, the question could be interpreted a little bit broader than that, in that is there 3.2 support in WD for Z? And I think the position is that as soon as WD for Z ships a new version or a new release, sorry, that it will have all the support for the new APIs built in. So we're not announcing a new release of WD for Z yet, but if and when it comes, then it will have full support for 3.2.
Okay, thank you. A question about the dynamic DSHRPL support and whether that will be through CSD or what the mechanism is. This support is to provide the ability to define data sets via means other than specifying them in DSHRPL, and it does use definitions. So in some respects, the answer is that it uses the CSD if that's the way that you choose to define resources in Kix. It's a new resource, a library resource that defines one or more data sets, and that can be defined using the resource definition online or using KixSpecFM and then installed into the Kix system. Just checking for other questions. Okay, there's a question about whether the JCA over TCP/IP will support channels and containers, and the answer to that is yes, it will. There's a question about whether there are any concerns migrating from Kix TS 2.2 to 3.2, whether there are sort of any gotchas. I'm not aware of anything in particular to mention. Obviously, the information in the information centre about migration will provide all the details about what's involved in carrying out that migration. There's a question about whether file control API calls directed to a remote file in another region will also be thread safe in the originating region. And the answer to that is no. The thread safe support for file control in Kix TS 3.2 is for local VSAM within the region and for VSAM RLS. A question similar to one we've already had about current applications written using the SOAP feature in Kix 2.2 and whether those will run without modifications in 3.2, and the answer to that is yes. There's a question about the EWLM support with Qix? Is there an EWLM user interface supplied with Qix? Or just the ability to supply the data? The answer is that there isn't a user interface for EWLM. The support makes use of the EWLM tokens. There's also a question about references to HFS in the presentation and whether that also applies to ZFS, to which the answer is yes. There's a question about the Qixplex SM, about the CAS address spaces. Are those going away and what is replacing them? The answer is yes, they are. The web user interface is the interface to systems management with Qixplex SM. There's a question about the fact that Qixplex SM is an integrated part of Qix, and the question is asking whether resource definition will be through CEDA, the Qix Configuration Manager, and Qixplex definition utility, whether those all continue to be supported, which is yes, that's very much the case. Another question, perhaps similar to one we've already had about the vSAM thread safety, can we define a mirror as open? The answer to that is no, as I sort of mentioned before, which are the aspects of vSAM that are being made thread safe in 3.2. I'm just checking through how we're doing with answering your questions. I think we have addressed most of them. If there are any that we've missed, then we'll get in touch with you via email and get you an answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's webcast. We thank you for joining us. And again, I'd like to just repeat that we will answer your questions via email if we did not have time to address them in this webcast. Thank you.